Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to keep you up to date with all the news you should know about. Today, there's been some progress lately on plans for a passenger train from Scranton to New York City. And we'll talk about an art and memorabilia theft ring in the latest News Voices. It's Tuesday, February 24th. Let's get into it. First, we have some info on a couple of film screenings this week. Court-appointed Special Advocates for Children, or CASA, of Wyoming Valley and CASA of Lackawanna County, will host free screenings of Brave the Dark, a film about a man's mentorship of one of his students, in Wilkes-Barre and Tunkhannock on Tuesday and Wednesday. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane has more on the film.
Brave the Dark is based on a true story. It follows Mr. Dean, a teacher, who becomes a mentor to his student, Nate. Ryan Schofield is the executive director of CASA of Wyoming Valley.
It is a powerful movie. It's a great story. It's going to be a fun night. We're going to all watch the movie together and then, you know, have a chance to learn more about, you know, the great work that our volunteers do and some of the ways that the community can impact the lives of foster children.
In the film, Dean discovers Nate has been living in his car and has landed in jail. The movie showcases Dean's mentorship of Nate and how that relationship helps Nate get his life back on track. CASA of Wyoming Valley and CASA of Lackawanna County are nonprofits. They train volunteers to serve as court-appointed advocates who support children through encounters with the justice system. The organizations say they serve nearly 200 children each year, but they need more volunteers. Schofield wants the screenings to encourage people to get involved.
The message that we are hoping to deliver from that is that, you know, anybody can be a hero to a child.
Panel discussions with the film's producer Nathaniel Dean, CASA staff, and local child advocates will follow each screening. The Wilkes-Barre screening will be at 6 p.m. on Tuesday at the Wilkes-Barre Think Center, and the Tunkhannock screening will be at 6 p.m. Wednesday at the Dietrich Theater. For WVIA, I'm Lydia McFarlane.
Thanks, Lydia. Find more of that story at WVIA.org. Now let's talk about the train. Over the years, you may have heard about plans for a passenger train between Scranton and New York City. You may also know that so far, it's been a lot of talk. But as WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk reports, some progress is finally happening.
Jeff Stiles tried to answer all the questions about the proposed Scranton to New York City passenger train as best he could. During an online webinar last week, people wanted to know how often the trains would run, how much a trip would cost, the location of the stations, and perhaps most importantly, when the first train would roll. Well, that's unknown and all part of a study that's underway. Stiles apologized for lacking answers.
I hate to keep saying more to follow, but we are pretty early in this, and so we're working through all these details that we can come back to you with and provide you with that information in one of the next meetings.
The webinar marked the public's first chance to ask top project officials directly about PennDOT's progress on a service development plan. Work on the plan began early last year and is expected to take until 2028. The plan is expected to flesh out potential answers, including coming up with costs and a construction schedule. Even though it's been decades in the planning, officials say they think this time the project has real momentum because it's one of only five nationwide that's gotten this far. State Transportation Secretary Mike Carroll took note of that.
It's an exciting moment, and I'm thrilled of the progress that we have created and generated thus far. Much work remains to be done, and with the cooperation and continued support from so many others across our region and in New Jersey, I can't wait for the exciting future steps to unfold.
Reporting from Pittston, I'm Boris Krauchenyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
WVIA News is working hard to be your source for local, state, and national stories that shape your world. We're your connection to stories that truly matter, and we report to you. Find us at WVIA.org.
Welcome back. Okay, now I'm going to bring Boris back for News Voices, but not about the train. We sat down to talk about an art and memorabilia theft ring. Here's more.
You're listening to WVIA Radio. I'm Sarah Cinto, and this is News Voices. Now that Nicholas Dombeck, the final member of an art and memorabilia theft ring that hit museums like the Everhart in Scranton, has been sentenced to 10 years in prison, WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk is here to wrap up the case one last time. Hi, Boris.
Hi, Sarah. How are you? Good.
So, let's start from the beginning because it has been a minute or so since we've talked about this. What was this theft ring that Dombeck was part of?
This is a case that had a little bit of everything. It's spread over 20 years. The indictments didn't happen until June or July of 2023, but this case dates back to 1999, and some people may remember when thieves stole a Christy Mathewson jersey and a couple of his player contracts from Keystone College. Mm-hmm. Well, that was this ring, as it turned out. It was a long, long time that case went unsolved, but the guy who was behind that was a guy named Tommy Trotta. Tommy Trotta led this ring over two decades, and they targeted, he was like a Walmart dock worker in his part-time, but this was like his side gig. And so he went to this event at Keystone in 1999, saw how easy it was to smash the glass and get in. There was no real security there. And then came back after a day or two later and did exactly that and walked away with it. Nobody knows where that jersey or player contract are yet. Then they continued with smaller stuff. But then the next big one was when they hit the Everhart Museum in Scranton and stole what people thought was a Jackson Pollock painting and an actual Andy Warhol painting. Those are still missing. Mm-hmm. So we still don't know where those are. And then they just kept on after that. They hit museums as far away as North Dakota, New Jersey, a bunch of them in New Jersey. They got caught only because Tommy Trotta got caught DUI. By then he was addicted to painkillers. Mm-hmm. And once they got him, they found some tools of his trade in his trunk and started to put two and two together. They matched a blood sample at one of the crime scenes in New Jersey to his blood, and that unraveled. He decided to cooperate and then squealed on everybody else. And in all, there were 9 people originally charged. 4 of them, including Trotta, pleaded guilty. 4 of them went on trial. 3 of them were found guilty. And then one other ring member pleaded guilty, but died before he was sentenced.
Okay. And now, speaking of sentencing, Dombeck here was the last to be sentenced, and he got the longest sentence out of any of the convicted members. So why do you think that was?
He and Trotta were the ringleaders. Trotta got 8 years, but he cooperated with prosecutors. And I think that's why Dombeck got a longer sentence. Not only did Dombeck run the ring, and he also fled when the first indictment came down. He disappeared for 7 months and turned himself in on New Year's Day in January 2024.
Okay. Now, so like you said before, there are still several missing works involved here. So do you think this case will ever truly be closed?
No. Because of that, I mean, you know, there's definitely still, you know, things to look for out there. I mean, there's things that they melted down that'll never come back. They went into the Yogi Berra Museum and stole his World Series rings and melted them rather than trade them or try to sell them as like a, you know, memorabilia. They just melted them down and got cash for them. I think in the case of those, it was like $12,000, and those are pretty priceless World Series rings. You don't see that stuff very often. They also, you know, stole boxing champions Tony Zale's title belts, and they got even less for that because there wasn't a lot of metal in them, you know, $400. Now, again, priceless things. These are gone forever.
All right. Well, Boris, thank you so much for your coverage of this case from beginning to end, and thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Okay, one last thing for you today. We got another Pennsylvania postcard from WVIA's Julie Sidoni.
In honor of America 250, Pennsylvania Postcards will focus on the people, places, and events that best commemorate this U.S. milestone and our Commonwealth's crucial role in it. A state historical marker in Carlisle honors James Wilson. He's perhaps not quite the household name like some of his colleagues, but the Scottish-born Wilson made many important contributions to America's developing democracy during the Revolution. An attorney by trade, Wilson came to the U.S. to work as a legal apprentice. His ideas helped form all three branches of government, not to mention the notion that states should have legal power as well. James Wilson is the only person to sign the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution and then go on to serve as a Supreme Court justice. I'm Julie Sidoni. This is an America 250 Pennsylvania postcard from WVIA News.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date. Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to stay in the know, make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're listening on Tuesday, tune in for live special coverage of President Trump's State of the Union Address, tonight at 9 on WVIA Radio. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.